Thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. Thank you to the praise team for leading us in song this evening and standing with me and turning in your Bibles here tonight. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, the word of the Lord says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit like men, or persevere, be strong, let all your things be done in charity, or let all things be done in charity. And New Living Translation says, and do everything with love. It goes on to tell us in the CEV version, or the Message version, excuse me, show love in everything you do. And I'm going to finish the sermon series tonight, and I'm going to talk about love. I'm going to talk about love. So stand fast in your faith, and part four, and we're going to talk about let all things be done with charity. If you love the Lord, would you just lift your voices to him right now? Just say, I love you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for the truth. Thank you for Acts 2:38, God. Thank you for John 3:16. Thank you for John 1:1. But God, more than that, thank you that you love us. God, thank you, God, for holiness. But God, more than that, thank you for loving us, God, that you give and you give and you give, Lord, and you bless your people tonight. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. We're using the word charity tonight. When it says let all things be done with charity, that means love. It's the agape love. You may have heard that. I've talked about that before. But it is the agape love. It is the benevolent leniency love. It's a love that is a love of affection. It is a type of love that the Lord has for us and shows us. And the Apostle Paul, for those that are here, and it's, I didn't teach last Wednesday night. Brother Parr did a capable job in a tremendous word teaching us from the word of the Lord. But Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. It's a very fascinating letter to a diverse church. And this is the third of Paul's, what we would understand, 13 books or letters or epistles. In fact, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1:1. Paul tells us, he said, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Aren't you thankful for the will of God? Amen. In verse 2, he says, unto the church of God, which is in Corinth, and he begins to write to them, and he tells them that he's writing actually from Ephesus. In fact, it's in verse 8, he says, I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. And interestingly enough, if you're taking notes, this is an awesome thing for Bible knowledge, because it is Bible study tonight, that the Apostle Paul wrote 1st and 2nd Thessalonians while he was in Corinth. So he writes Corinthians while he is in Ephesus, and then he writes 1st and 2nd Thessalonians from Corinth. And Corinth was obviously a bustling city. It was a church established by the Apostle Paul, and it's where we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he gives a whole discussion, admonition about love. And so if you'd like to know about the love of God and the love of the church and the love of the body of Christ, I encourage you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And Paul was wanting to go to Corinth. He wasn't there yet, so he sends this letter to a Corinthian church, which was a church that had a lot going on. It was a city that we would probably best be able to recognize similarity of what was done in Corinth stayed in Corinth. It was there was immorality, it was evil, there was paganism, there were some things there that there's taking place in our world today that took place then. And he was there for about a year and 6 months teaching. And so I get to this, and I tell you all this is because even in postmodern times, we look at the Word of God, and the Word of God is just as relevant today as it was back then. It's amazing. The Word of God is amazing. And so, but Paul isn't telling the Christians or the believers there to lay low and to hide out and to be quiet, but he's telling them what we've learned over the last couple of weeks, to stand fast in your faith, be courageous, be bold. And then he's telling them then, but he's reiterating it to us today, and I'm sharing it with us tonight, that how to live for the Lord in a corrupt society. And that is not a cheap shot at anything. It's just, it is what it is, right? There's corruption. In fact, it's in Acts where the Apostle Peter says, save yourself from this untoward generation. So they were dealing with stuff then that we'd like to assume that we're not dealing with now, but I think it's just at an exponential rate. Things are taking place both in the spiritual and in the demonic world as well at an exponential rate. And so instead, Paul is challenging us. He's challenging the believers then, and he's challenging us as the believers tonight to live out our commitment to the Lord more faithfully in the midst of non-believers. He expected that our lights would shine in a world that is dark. And he says to stand fast, and we know that means to be firm and to not be unwavering. And so, but then he tells us all that, and we get to my points tonight, and he says, be bold, be courageous, be strong, be firm, but do everything with love. It's like, wow. Okay. Be firm, but do it with love. Have courage, but do it in a loving manner, which is the total opposite of the standard of the world that we live in today. Right? Because you hit me and I hit you back twice, right? You do me dirty, I'm going to bring a whole neighborhood of trash and lay it on the front yard, your front yard, and we'll talk about it later, right? But the Lord has been exemplifying that throughout his entire ministry, and we've got to understand that not everyone in the world is going to appreciate your passion for Jesus. But we stand fast in the faith anyways. Not everyone will agree with your level of faithfulness, but you be faithful anyways, right? There's folks on your job. There's folks in the church that they arrive early and they leave late because they're well, this is not a cheap shot, but because they got some spiritual business they come to take and handle. And it's the same thing on the job. There's some people, they get there early, and they're the ones that make the coffee and turn the lights on, and they stay late, and it's just because they're there to handle business. It's the same thing in the spirit realm. We are here to handle business. We're here to be about our Father's business, and we got to do what we do and be firm, but we got to do it with love. So let our love to and let our love for God and let our love one to another be the motive of all of our conduct. First point tonight is let love be the motive. Let love be the motive. Listen, I have a lot to work on. Somebody say amen. Amen. Don't leave me hanging. But you have a lot to work on. Somebody say amen. Amen. And I'll be the first to tell you that I haven't always made the right call or done everything in love. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now that was weak. Somebody say amen. Amen. But neither have you. Amen. Just putting it out there. But that's proof that God's still working on us. Aren't you glad the Lord's still working on us? And when we're standing fast in our faith, it at times can be challenging to let love be our motive when everything around us is evil. And what you really want to do is you want to pray fire down from heaven on somebody's domain. Nobody's ever thought of that before. Aren't you appreciative that we don't get what we deserve? Our God is a righteous God. Let's not forget that. In fact, Hebrews 12 and 29 says, for our God is a consuming fire. And he doesn't wink at sin. He's not all just closing his eyes to sin. But in fact, the Bible tells us in Romans 3 and 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But aren't you thankful for Acts 2:38, repentance and baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and that the promise still is alive and well today to all that are alive and to those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Somebody say amen. Amen. So, but he doesn't tolerate sin. He doesn't put up with sin. He doesn't want us supporting sin or promoting it. But we got to understand in 2 Peter 3 and 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all, somebody say all, should come to repentance. Yes, our God is a God of righteousness and a God of judgment, but he is a God of love.
Amen.
1 John 4:19 says we love him because, somebody say it, his nature is love. Just as his nature is holy, be ye holy for I am holy, said he is also love.
Amen.
And to let our spiritual character and nature be a character of courage and love, we got to understand that we are not going to be able to agree on everything with everybody.
Right.
In fact, you're not supposed to.
Good.
Amen. 1 John 4:7, like how he writes, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of who? And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is what?
Love.
In this was manifested the love of God towards who? Towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Notice this. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the substitute or the sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, then what? We also ought to love our friends. One another. I'm the pastor of this wonderful, growing, thriving church. And I want you to like me. But if I'm really doing what I'm called to do, there are going to be times that I will teach and preach and correct you and stand for or against things that will make you angry, frustrated, or mad at me. And that is never my intention. But I do what I do because I love you and I love God, and God has commissioned me to lead this church and this region to heaven. And this has got to be the same thing with our personal relationship with the Lord. We've got to live as Christians in a non-Christian environment. You've got to be the light that shines at your place of employment, because the chances of Pastor Panero or somebody from the ministry team walking in there and teaching a Bible study is slim to none. But you are you are the missionary, the disciple maker. You are the ambassador that God has sent to that place and to those people. And we've got to make sure that we stand firm on our convictions, that we don't back up on what we believe and who we are and dress one way at work and change before we get home. But no, we are who God called us to be. We're a city on a hill. We're a light in the world. We are apostolic. We are Jesus' name. But we are a people of love. So, we should not be persuaded to live in shades of gray because we don't want to step on anybody's toes. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth in love. Grow up into him in all things. So we should be growing in the Lord. We're here to make a spiritual difference, not win a popularity contest on our jobs. Proverbs 4:18 says, this is powerful, powerful. Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Notice this. But the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Reason, and I'm digressing, I got to stay on track, but the reason why some of the places that you work or live at is blessed is because of you guys. Parents, all the parents say amen.
Amen.
Are we demonstrating the love of God in our homes? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Why? Because we are who we really are at home. I didn't get too many amens.
Amen.
This is good preaching anyways.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 6 and 4, we know it. The Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them whenever you feel like it unto your children. Diligently. Somebody say diligently.
Diligently.
To your children. And talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou riseth up. Are we standing fast with the love of God in our homes? Is the love of God felt? Is it nurtured? Is it encouraged? Is it exemplified in our homes? Fathers, Ephesians 6 and 4 says, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Doesn't say anything about Sunday school teachers. Doesn't say anything about RT kids. I know the youth pastor's not here today, but doesn't say anything about the youth department. It doesn't even say anything about any ministry. It just says, fathers, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let love be our motive. We read our Bibles because we love God. We respect one another, especially our elders.
Amen.
And those in spiritual authority.
Amen.
Because we love God.
Right.
Come on, somebody. We got to get this. Parents, I love you, but we cannot let a cell phone or a tablet be the guardian of attention for our kids. Whether it's at the, and yes, there's times and a place for it, and it's appropriate at the right time and place, but church isn't. But for an adolescent or for a teenager to be mesmerized by a tablet or a phone when they're speaking to somebody or at the dinner table or at church, the devil is a liar. Come on, somebody. That's not demonstrating love or respect. It's borderline addictive. Loving one another and demonstrating it is very much biblical. Jesus declared when he asked his conviction on the commandments, Jesus says in Matthew 22 and 37, he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So everything we do, everything we don't do, everything we sell, buy, think, it ought to revolve around our love for God and your love one toward another. Hey, don't owe anybody anything if you can help it.
Amen.
Except for this. Romans tells us, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. That's so convicting. When we break it down and consider our relationship with the Lord versus our relationship with one another. We're part of the body of Christ. I know some of you are saying, I know who the nose is because they're pretty nosy, right? But like my jokes, huh? We ought to be able to see, appreciate, demonstrate, and respond to one another with love.
Amen.
Sometimes it's hard to love somebody that you really don't like. But we gotta do it. Gotta do it. They may get on your lap. They may be the reason why you have don't have no hair, a full head of hair, a gray hair. They may be the reason. They may be the reason. They may be the reason you sit out where you sit at work. Not at church. Shouldn't be like that in the house of God. God help us. God help us. We've got to understand that God's been good to us individually, right? But sometimes I feel that we're limiting ourselves and hindering what God has for us because he can't trust us based on our love that we demonstrate one to another.
That's good.
Remember, because he won't give us any more than he can trust us with. John tells us in 1 John 3:18, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You know, some of you have been walking around wounded because of circumstances of life, the absence of love, because of the friendly fire, because of church hurt that had nothing to do with RT. Because somebody failed to demonstrate brotherly love. And it's caused you and it's caused your family to become spiritually protective to almost the demise of your relationship with God and your pastor. You like me as the preacher, but you've kind of pushed me away because you have love issues. Talking to somebody. Because somebody somewhere else said they loved you and they stood behind the pulpit, but they treated you like something that you wouldn't treat anybody, but they hid behind. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching. And the moment spiritual authority is exercised, you just kind of clam up again. Could I tell you, follow me as I follow Christ.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Let brotherly love continue. Let the love of God let it pour out of us like a cologne or a perfume that you're wondering what is that? It's the love of God. They had every opportunity to chop me down at the knees, but they corrected me and rebuked me with the love of God. They had every opportunity to quit and say, I'm out of this ministry and I'm going to bail out, but though they handled it with love. They had every opportunity to call the police on me, but no, they sent me flowers instead, and they demonstrated the love of God. They gave me a pink slip, and you may have fired somebody, but you can do it with the love of God. Can I get a witness here tonight? We are Christians. It doesn't matter if you're sitting on the other side of a table, signing a contract, terminating somebody, bidding for a job, and selling them something on the platform or in the neighborhood. We ought to stand for the doctrine. We got to stand for holiness, but we've got to make sure we're demonstrating the love of God.
Amen,
Romans 12:9 says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Let me read it from a different rendition. Be sincere in your love for others. Hate everything that is evil. Hold tight to everything that is good. Paul writes in Romans, be kindly affectioned, in verse 10, one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. We had a powerful prayer meeting Thursday night towards the end. It just kind of broke out in a prayer line. And some of the ministry team was here, and we're anointing and laying hands and oil. And called the next sister up, and she preferred her sister. She's like, oh, no. I said, well, Sam better step up and get a blessing. They jumped in. But that the, even in atmospheres like that, you're preferring to say, maybe my sister's going to go first. God, if you're going to bless anybody, bless my brother, bless my sister, because you know what? I'm going to rejoice with him. I'm going to shout with him. I'm going to weep with him. Oh, God, I'm going to stand fast in the love of God and with faithfulness. But I want love to be my motive. Somebody say, hurry, Pastor. Second point is demonstrate your Christ-like love. I don't have time tonight to go into all the ways that people show or receive love, but there's a general principle. Just want to leave it there. In fact, they have taught this in Stronger Families Ministry. So, but the five love languages, but I'm just sharing with you this, that just as we are all different, we all show and receive love in different ways. But regardless, Hebrews 13 and 1 says, let brotherly love continue. Amen. That means to let it abide, let it dwell, let it be present. All your kids are different. Some of them are more emotional than others. Some are more quiet. Some are more verbal, right? Anybody got some, likes to talk, right? But we love them. And they love us, and we demonstrate our love to them in ways that are conducive to the needs of that child. And it's the same with one another, and it's the same that the Lord does with us. He must love some of you a lot because he's always chastising you. He really trusts some of you because a lot of trials and tribulations. But you do it with joy, baby. Come on, somebody. But we need to consider and demonstrate our Christ-like love with one another. And it's called being friendly. In fact, Hebrews 10 and 24 says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That's more difficult, more easier to read than it is to do. Because we tend to gravitate towards people that we can relate to. Right? Nothing wrong with that. But here's something. We also resist what we do not understand. And most people don't like change.
Amen.
And then the older you get, the more resistant to change you are. Now, I don't got much time, but I'm gonna come after some of you. You've been using the same toothpaste, and you freak out when Target moves it because you can't find it because you don't like change. Right? You've been going to the same broke-down mechanic because just where everyone else went for whatever and whatever, whatever, whatever. The same dentist, Dr. Slaughter, busts your teeth every time you go in there. But it's just, it's changed. Because it's you don't want to change. I talked about it today. It was, I was, remember the police officers hit my car February 2021. Police officer hit a parked car, right? And it happened to be my car. And I was frustrated with my insurance because it was just, you know, pay good money. And you thought, man, when you need insurance, they should be able to, like, how high do you want us to jump? And all this going on with the pandemic, and today we're talking about insurance. I say, you need to call. We got a relative that's in insurance. I say, you need to call him, tell him the first of the year we need to do something different because starting to remember some stuff, you know, starting to remember some stuff. But because we don't like change. We don't like change. Can I tell you, God doesn't change. And his love doesn't change. And holiness doesn't change. And the plan of salvation doesn't change. And his mercy doesn't change. And being kind to people shouldn't change. And being friendly to people shouldn't change. And we can't get caught up in our life and our family and our issues and our ministry and our ambitions and our feelings and our weariness, and everybody's busy. Just ask them. Everybody's busy, but everybody's got the what? The same amount of time as everyone else. But we have got to remember that God has called us for such a time as this, and we've been hammering that in the ground for 2 years. But if there's anything that we as a Holy Ghost filled people of God need to do is we need to make sure we are demonstrating the love of God, not just in what we say, but in what we do and where we go. Doesn't mean you got to walk around with a sign and say, free hugs, I love you. No, but we got to make sure, saints of God, we can be angry and sin not. We can speak the truth in love. We can hold people accountable and do it in love. We can say no and do it in love. We can be competitive, but do it in love. 1 Peter 4:8 says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For love, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Be very transparent this tonight. I'm going to get emotional. But some of you know my testimony. I left the church for 5 semesters. And I probably would have came back a lot sooner if the people said they loved me.
Love you, Pastor.
Demonstrated their love to me when I needed them most. Because when you're backslidden and you're a prodigal, do you hear anything in the night that sounds like a trumpet?
Well, nope.
You get an ulcer real quick.
No.
Prodigals don't need a Bible study every time you see them.
That's good. That's right. They need love.
They need you to demonstrate the love of God. Yeah, you're living in sin, and you come visit us, you're going to have to go get a hotel room, or somebody's, yeah, we're not going to put up with it, we're not okay with it. Somebody's going to have to sit out of the family picture, you're going to have to put something on, or you can sit at, come over to the house for Christmas. I get it, but I love you. I love you. I love you. I didn't get too many amens, but if you're a prodigal, I love you. Time to come home. Time to get right. Time to stay right. Come on, somebody. Peter 4:9 says, use hospitality one with another without grudging. Share the pozole. Just saying. Be friendly. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Mad dogging everybody. It's not real friendly. We're not in gangs. Everybody will be happy. We'll be happy over there. We can practice right here.
Amen.
Be kind.
Amen.
Sister Para, come give these folks some hope. Amen. Musicians, come. Be kind. Sometime back, Brother Drozic on a Wednesday night taught a lesson about being kind. Maybe we need to share the link about that. But we need to demonstrate the joy of the Lord. Everybody take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. It's going to be all right. Why would sometimes anybody want to meet your mother-in-law? The way some folks talk about their mother-in-law. Right? Why would somebody want to go to your house or your church the way you talk about the pastor and the church and Sunday school teachers and the ministry team and the music and your Nate? Why would anybody? It's like, wow, my wife's a horrible cook. Don't invite me over for dinner, man. I don't want to get sick. Show the love. She gets an A for effort. Ain't nobody starving at my house. We got something to eat. It's warm. It's ready. God bless it. It is what it is. Come on, somebody. Proverbs 17 and 17 as we stand. A friend loveth at all times. God has been gracious to us. He welcomes us. He calls us by name. He knows us. He calls those things that are not as though they were. He's long-suffering. He doesn't mistreat us. But he holds us accountable to his word. He's going to judge. He's going to measure us. But because of his love for us, he's given us his word. He's given us pastors. He's given us prophets and teachers. He's given us evangelists and apostles. He's given us the Holy Ghost. He's given us a roadmap, which is his word. He's given us holiness. He's given us the body of Christ. He's given us spiritual leadership so that the body can work together to edify and encourage and support all in love as we grow as a church numerically, but more than that, as we grow spiritually as an individual. So as we grow, we're getting to a point where it's hard for pastor to do a lot of the things I used to do because we're growing. And it's because I send someone to go see you in the hospital or pastor doesn't go and pray for you like he used to doesn't mean I don't love you. Come on, somebody. It's called growth. It's called growth. It's the love of God. I don't get to, can't shake everybody's hand. But we all represent the body of Christ. We all represent Revival Tabernacle. We all represent the kingdom. So be an encourager. Be a humble leader. If you're on leadership, be a humble leader. Be a worshiper. When we come in here, let's be a worshiper. Let's have a servant's heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. And I close with this. They can give me a little bit more mute music. And though I speak with the tongues of angels, or of men and angels, and have not charity or love, I'm become of a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Notice this. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I can move mountains and I have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and not have charity, it profiteth me nothing if I don't have love. Love suffereth long, is kind. Love envieth not. Follow me, verse 4. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Love does not behave, verse 5, itself unseemly, and seeketh not her own. Love is not easily provoked. Love thinketh, verse 5, please, and thinketh no evil. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Wish I had time to preach on that for a moment. Verse 7, love beareth all things. Love believeth all things. Love hopeth all things. Love endureth all things. Verse 8, love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Thank the Lord for his love. Thank the Lord for the body of Christ.